this time is going to be a real special time. After these 7 days, don't you feel our hunger just has been stirred up?
Amen.
That's not the end. That was just the beginning. So we really like to give 2 solid days to the Lord to be here for no other purpose. And I mean no other purpose. We're not here to hang out with some of our old buddies. We're not here for any other kind of interest, any other kind of attraction. We're here solely to be attracted by the Lord, to be drawn by Him. You see, I tell young people, we cannot be drawn by Him enough. We need to be drawn by Him again and again. Woo by Him again and again. Until we're lost in Him. Until we find Him. Right? In the inner chamber. That's what we want to do for these 2 days. So, for the next a couple of days, we will devote this time, session after session, not just to have a kind of general review of the last 7 day crystallization study of the Song of Songs. We rather like to use this time to dive into some depth of particular areas of the first part of that study, especially the first 6 meetings. There are a lot of things in there that we feel are very, very pertinent to us young people and very, very timely as far as our need goes. In the seeking and the pursuit of Christ, in the initial experience of Him in the inner chamber, and even in the experience of transformation, the cross, and resurrection. All these items, we don't want to just go over some review. We want to dive into these things, and even with a particular burden to enter into their application in our experience and our daily life. We feel this is our burden. Many of our young people in the church, though they're all wonderful, many grew up in the church life, but we have a strong feeling that there is very much a kind of lack in this area. I don't know whether you feel this or not. Certainly, for those of us who take care of the young people, we had that feeling. There is a need for much more seeking, much more inner, subjective, personal, direct knowledge of the Lord, not something secondhand, not some kind of spiritual lingo, not some kind of spiritual slogan that we can shout, and not some kind of mechanical exercise we can just do, but rather a personal, deep, organic seeking of the Lord to know Him as your beloved. So we like to do this. Now, I just like to emphasize, stress, for that reason, we like to redeem the time so that even in this time, in our morning, afternoon, and evening, we will say something at the close of this meeting, we will have special time carved out for you to have personal fellowship with the Lord. Amen. Not with a group. Not to, you know how it goes, the group can be a crutch to us. No, we like you to develop a personal time with the Lord in these few days. We'll talk about that later. Amen?
Amen.
Are you consecrated?
Amen.
Okay, give yourself all your attention to the Lord and to His Word.
Well, it's the first time I'm here with you all, the college students, and you know when I saw you all in the testing during the training, as well as the high school students, I was just so moved. I was deeply moved just seeing you all so young and so given to the Lord. You know so much truth. You have such good utterance. Any one of you can speak more truth with more reality and more release of the Spirit than probably, you know, anybody out there in Christianity. So what the Lord has done with you all is absolutely marvelous. You know, here we are, you know, during the so-called Christmas holidays, you are not out there, you know, reveling with your friends, but then you've given your days to be in the training, sitting in these meetings day after day. I believe, you know, not only myself being so moved, I believe all the angels would be moved to see such a group of young people here in Southern California at this time, so given to the Lord. So, you know, being so moved, you know, I also became burdened that you all would be brought on with the Lord, would be perfected, that one day, you know, you all would be so useful in the Lord's hand. Amen. Undoubtedly, you know, the future of the Lord's recovery is you all. And it's very important that you all lay a good foundation while you're still young. And that is why we're having this weekend together, because we do have some concern, as Brother Lee has opened up this matter in this training, of the personal and the affectionate relationship that each one of us Amen. Should have with the Lord.
Amen.
So we're concerned, you know, how much do you all young people have that kind of a life, that kind of a relationship with the Lord Himself? Now, coming to this weekend, these next 2 days, being the college conference, or you call this training, I suspect that you all probably immediately think we're going to talk about the gospel preaching. When I first sat down here tonight, I heard some of the prayer, which seemed to me to be suggestive that you come here with the expectation, well, how are we going to carry on the gospel work on the campus? Well, I was here, you know, during the last training, this college training, after the summer training in July. I was here for a couple of the meetings, and indeed, there was a lot shared about how to carry on with the gospel work, you know, in the college campuses. How do we gain more people? How do we capture more people? Well, that's all good and well, but this time we are more concerned with how captured you are. Not how many you will capture on the campus for the Lord in this coming semester, but how captured are you?
Amen.
You know, this word capture is one of the words, I think, that is used only in our vocabulary. It sounds kind of, you know, aggressive, you know, to capture somebody. If you really think about it. Some people may even be offended by this. But, you know, we're not the only people, you know, who use this word. Just look at that hymn that we just sang.
Right.
Hast thou seen him, heard him, known him?
Amen.
Is not thine a captured heart? Right? So the author of that hymn also had the same realization that our hearts need to be captured hearts. And that is our burden this weekend, brothers and sisters. Not how many people you're going to capture this time, this coming semester, for the Lord, for the gospel, but how captured are you? And how much more will you be captured by the Lord this semester?
Amen.
Now, don't say, well, let's drop all the gospel preaching. Well, you know, and after this training, we're all going to, you know, turn into inner life people. Well, that's not what I mean. Right? You carry on the gospel work, and I do pray the Lord will continue to bless all that you are doing on the college campuses. And it's very encouraging, you know, what the Lord has done in bringing so many new ones to himself and to the church. It's very, very encouraging. But alongside with that, we hope that we can strengthen your personal experience of the Lord, your personal relationship with the Lord, such that you will be more captured by the Lord. Now tonight, sitting here, I was reminded of a passage in the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 14, let us all turn to that, huh? Mark chapter 14. Now let's read together from verse 3 through verse 9. Let's have the brothers read one verse and the sisters read another verse. And while he was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he reclined at table, a woman came, having an alabaster flask of ointment of very costly pure nard, and she broke the alabaster flask and poured it over his head. For this ointment could have been sold for over 300 denarii and given to the poor, and they were infuriated with her.
But Jesus said, "Leave her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has done a noble deed on me."
For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you want, you can do good for them, but you do not always have me. And truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is proclaimed in the whole world, what this woman has done
shall also be told
as a memorial of her. Well, I hope, you know, this coming semester, you will go on preaching the gospel, but in your gospel, there will be the element of the ointment being poured out on the Lord. When you preach the gospel, as the Lord's word says here, this must be mentioned. In fact, not only told in words, but I hope that all of our lives would tell of this. That the life that you live on the campus, the life that you live every day, would tell of this. That your life would be this gospel. That you are a person whose flask of alabaster is broken, and that your very precious ointment, very costly nard, is poured out on the Lord. Yes, I hope we will go on with the gospel, but I do hope and pray the Lord will carry us on in the gospel in this way. In this way. That in the gospel, there will be the fragrance of the ointment being poured out. Now let me ask you tonight, are you this kind of a person? Are you this kind of a person who is just pour out on the Lord? You know, why would she pour this out on the Lord? Why would she do such a thing? In fact, she did this, and to some people it was infuriating. Not only were they indignant, they were infuriated. Well, brothers and sisters, it all depends on how valuable is the Lord to you. How precious is the Lord to you? You know, to some people, the Lord is so precious that he is worth everything, that nothing would be considered as too much. If it's too much, it's a waste. And that's what these people said, including the disciples. You know, it all depends on what you see as the worth. You know, these art auctions, some of you may study history of art. Here's a French Impressionist painting by Claude Monet. Right? Well, maybe not Monet, Van Gogh. You know, he painted the sunflowers. He painted this picture with a sunflower. And some years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, some guy paid something like $40 million for that painting. There was another painting some 5 years ago, I forgot which one it was, one of these French Impressionist paintings, that this Japanese guy bought and paid tens of millions of dollars for just one painting. And he says when he dies, that painting is going to go into the tomb with him. Can you imagine? I mean, $40 million for something yay big? With some colors on it? I mean, you know, sunflowers. You can go out there and see the same thing. It wouldn't even cost you 40 cents. Well, it all depends on what that is worth to you. You may be infuriated by what this crazy man did. Why this waste? Right? And maybe I feel the same way as well. But for him, it's not. Because this is so precious to him. Well, it is the same with our Lord Jesus. You know, the worldly people look at the Lord and say, what is he worth? What is he worth? But to you, let me ask you, what is he worth to you? And you know, as the brothers are very burdened, that this weekend will be very practical. Let me ask you, is the Lord worth more to you than your degree? Than your future? Whatever you want to be? You may want to be an investment banker. A lot of people dream of being that. You may, well, I want to be a medical doctor. I'm not discouraging you from pursuing these things, but I'm encouraging you that you must have a dealing with the Lord to the point that in your heart, the Lord himself is worth more than anything else. Anything else. Why are you in the church? Why do you come to all these meetings? Why don't you just go out and have a good time? Well, is it because your parents are in the church? You were raised up in the church? And the church is a very nice place, you know. I think the church life is a fantastic place. You can't find nicer people. You know, they don't backstab you. They don't betray you. They're true to you. They really care for you. There's a lot of love here. I mean, the church life is a lovely place. Well, where else do you want to be? Where else can you find people like this? Well, is that why you're in the church? Right? Because there are no nicer people anywhere? Well, we are concerned, you know. The difference may be subtle, but we are concerned that we all would be in the church because we, each one of us personally is captured by the Lord, such that one day, even if the church life turns sour, even if some brother backstabs me and betrays me, I would still be in the church. If the reason of my being in the church was, well, that nice brother, you know? Well, one day when that brother is no longer nice, your reason for being in the church would have dissipated. And you would be floundering, well, why then am I in the church? And your faith would leak out. But if you're in the church for no other reason other than the Lord Jesus himself, I tell you, come thick or thin, hell or high water, right? I am here not because of anything else. I am here because in my spirit, I have this relationship personally with the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
I tell you, nothing can shake you from that.
Amen.
You know, today I was considering, you know, the missionaries. You know, in the old days. Oh, even today maybe. But I was thinking in the old days, you know, the missionary went to China. And they really left the comfort of the Western world. I mean, that was the civilized world. And they went to China, you know, and lived in these very primitive conditions, being attacked and by people and, you know, terrible sanitary conditions. You know, they could easily get sick or die and, you know, risking their life. Well, what motivated them? You know, these people, you know, Bradley used the example of some of them, like Hudson Taylor, right? Or A.B. Simpson. Had it not been for the Lord himself motivating them, you know, no one could endure such hardship.
Right.
Well, you know, it takes the same, or it should be the same motivation that motivated them, the missionaries, to go to China, to motivate you today to stay in the church life. You look at them and you say, wow, that's really impossible. That's humanly just it defies imagination. Well, likewise today, your being in the church should be to the world something that defies imagination.
Amen.
Why would this young man not go out there and do something, you know, whatever it is? Why would he spend his life just in the church, going to meetings, reading life studies, praying, calling on the Lord, right? Going to trainings twice a year? Why would he do such a thing? Well, here you remember Brother Lee's word in the training. There are two worlds. There's the physical world, the visible world, and there is a spiritual world. And these two worlds are going on in the same time. Let me ask you, is your being in the church something of that physical world? Or is your being in the church something of that spiritual world? It is very easy and very possible that our being in the church is something of that physical world. You know what I just said? You know, wow, that brother is so nice. He really cares for me. That could easily be something of that physical world. And maybe, you know, our being in the church today is 80% due to that something in that physical world. Well, 20% due to something really in the spirit. Well, we're burdened that part that is due to the spiritual world would grow.
Amen.
That your being in the church is not because of anything physical, you know, such as your parents. I mean, that is the physical world. You were physically brought up in the church. You went to children's meeting from the time you were knee high. Then you went to junior high conferences. And you went to high school conferences. And now you're in the brother's house. That is the physical world. We thank the Lord for that. That's good. We thank the Lord for it. But within those physical things, there must be the spiritual world going on.
Amen.
There must be something going on in that spiritual world. That part must grow. That I am in the church because of something in my spirit. Because of something with the Lord himself. Not because of anyone, not because of anything I know or feel, but it is the Lord himself.
Amen.
He is the only reason I'm here.
Amen.
Now, I really don't know how to put this in words, Except to say, brothers and sisters, each one of us needs that personal relationship with the Lord. And that personal relationship with the Lord should be the reason for our living, for our doing everything, for our living, doing things the way we do, for our future, for our present, for our everything. It is something in the Spirit, and therefore rather mysterious. You know, 1 Peter says what? Whom, having not seen, you love. Into whom, not seeing him at present, yet believing, you exult with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory. You know, here Brawley had a footnote that is very interesting. It said, it is a wonder and a mystery that the believers love one whom they have not seen. It is a wonder and a mystery. I tell you, brothers and sisters, in your Christian life and in your church life, there needs to be more of that wonder and that mystery that sometimes even you yourself cannot figure out. And yet you just know the Lord is there. Right. I have this love with the Lord. Amen. That I just cannot do anything else. Amen. Or live my life any other way. Amen. It is beyond explanation. It is beyond explanation. It is something of a wonder, of a mystery. Amen. You know, I'm afraid with some of us, there are no wonders and no mystery. It's all out in the open. I'm here because my parents were in the church. I'm here because I was brought up in the church. Well, that's all very plain and understandable. But I'd like to ask you, how much wonder and mystery is there to your being in the church? Something that even mystifies yourself. You know, sometimes I wonder why I'm in the church. My goodness, after all these years, and I've been up and down and in and out, I'm still in the church. It's a wonder and a mystery. And yet I know within my spirit, I know the Lord himself. Amen. I just know the Lord. The one I love. The one that is so personal with me and with whom I have such a personal relationship. Today, if you tell me, you know, to go make it in the world. Go, you know, do this and that great things in the world. I can't do it. And I have no interest in doing it. And I have no taste for doing that. Oftentimes people tell me, oh, go skiing. You know, it's good for you. Well, I have no interest in going to skiing. I'd rather come to a meeting than to go skiing. I have no interest. Why? I don't know. There is something of a wonder and a mystery even within my spirit. I just know I love the Lord. Amen. And I live this way because of that love toward the Lord himself. Amen. You know, this word, the title of this message that the brothers gave me is being captivated by Christ to have a lifelong, personal, and affectionate pursuit of him. You know, this matter of being captivated, it's mysterious. It's mysterious. You just know. Within, you really don't know, but you know. Sometimes you wish it was another way, but it just can't be. You can't explain it. And yet within is so real to you. Oh, the Lord himself, the one I love, He is the reason for me being here. He is the reason for my being in the church life. He is the reason for my living the way I live. Amen. And choosing the future that I will choose.
Amen.
You know, when Brother Lee talked about, you know, in this training, several times he referred to when he first came to this country. And it just occurred to me, you know, when he first came to this country, it must have been so different from today. You know, he was not young by then, you know, in his 60s. A Chinaman speaking broken English, coming to the top country of the world to challenge all of Christianity. But today, you know, in church, you know, my gosh, you know, 3,000 people. I mean, echoing all this amen and the whole room shakes, you know. And when we all sing and release the Spirit, you'll just carry into the third heavens. Oh, when those young high schoolers get tested, I mean, your spirit just... In a sense, you know, my point is this. Today, it's so much easier to be in the church. That even without that hidden wonder and mystery in the Spirit, you can be in the church. You know what I mean? You come to the meeting, you know, you come to training. It's fabulous. I mean, even if you were an unbeliever, it's fabulous. Right? Even if you were an unbeliever, you listen to Brother Lee, it's fabulous. I mean, those messages were fantastic. Well, of course, you know, we're believers, so they're even more fantastic. Right? Well, are those things the only reason why you're in the church? We thank the Lord for all these things. But our being in the church, our following the Lord, must be due solely to this one thing. And that is, I personally have a personal relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
I personally, I love the Lord. I want to follow the Lord.
Amen.
I want to be in the Lord's recovery.
Amen.
I want to be to one who fulfills God's economy.
Amen.
There must be that personal transaction. Now, in the church, right, we stress a lot the corporate, right? In fact, probably some of you feel, golly, I wish I had some moments to myself. You're in the brother's house, you're in the sister's house. You know, someone told me today, I talked to somebody from UT Austin. He said, you go on campus, you run into brothers and sisters all the time. You go into the cafeteria and there's some brothers and you pray read. Well, that's all great.
Amen.
Right? But behind all of that, what is your personal relationship with the Lord? In this training, Raleigh said, nobody can represent you.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Nobody can have this relationship with the Lord vicariously for you. You yourself must personally have that relationship with the Lord.
Right.
You know, Raleigh talked about this when he released the truth of God becoming man and man becoming God, that the saint's response was so enthusiastic, he was somewhat bothered because it, what, sort of smells or tastes like a movement. Well, the Lord's recovery is not any movement. You know, when Raleigh gave that word, I felt that I almost got a new definition of the Lord's recovery. The Lord's recovery must be a collection of people, each of which has a personal relationship with the Lord. Each of which personally has a burning love for the Lord and an affectionate relationship with the Lord. Without that as the underpinning, you know, the recovery can easily go off some tangent and we get carried away.
Right.
Yeah. You know, you even look back into history. Many of you have been in the church life for many years. You know, we've lived through, what we call rebellions, right? People who just cause trouble and, eventually leave the church. I guarantee you, with every one of those, the cause seemingly may be this or that, but inwardly, it's because they've lost that relationship with the Lord. The Lord himself was no longer the reason for their being there. They had some other goals and some other reasons for their being in the church. And when that happens, the outward circumstances only conveniently provide some excuse or some means by which that deviation from the Lord himself would be carried out and manifested. If our being in the church is due to nothing but the Lord himself, nothing can sway you. Nothing can sway you. But you yourself must have that personal relationship with the Lord, that personal affectionate love for the Lord, that personal being captivated, being captured by the Lord. You yourself must personally have that. I know, I'm up here tonight just repeating myself over and over and over again. I have nothing else to say.
Amen.
I'm just up here repeating myself over and over again to you all, young brothers and sisters. You need that personal, affectionate pursuit of the Lord.
Amen.
That you would not be pursuing something else other than the Lord. That the Lord would be the only objective and goal for you in your whole Christian life or in your whole life. You know, life is full of disappointments and trials. Maybe many of you, and I suspect most of you, have lived a pretty sheltered life with few disappointments and few trials, right? Really difficult circumstances, that you can't get out of. I suspect most of you, had a pretty, sheltered life. Like someone said, grew up in a greenhouse, the flowers have no smell. Someone said that, right, in the testing. Oh, Lord. Well, the time will come that there will be disappointments. That there will be disappointments. When you're young, life is rather simple. Well, you just study. And you want to get into UC Berkeley. Ah, and you got in. Right? Well, you didn't get in. Well, you got into UC Irvine. Ain't so bad. No big disappointment. Right? Well, when you're young, life is pretty simple. Well, it's great being young, Few disappointments. Especially in the church life, life is so pure. And few trials, Well, we talk about, wow, that brother really rubs me the wrong way. If you really think about it, that's just kid stuff. So what? What's the big deal, That brother really rubs you the wrong way. Oh, I can't stand the sister. If you really, you know, you just step back and look at it and you laugh at yourself. Why would I be bothered by that? Few trials. When you're young, you know, life is just simple. But brothers and sisters, as you go on in life, you know, the Lord will raise up circumstances. And these circumstances are necessary for our perfection and necessary for our transformation. That you may have some disappointments, something that you really want in life, the Lord would just not give it to you.
Wow.
Are you impressed by that, brother? Did you just have some experience of that? Huh?
Yeah, I've had that experience.
Yeah? Well, this brother just had some experience of that. Well, it will happen. And it could be some pretty serious stuff, you know. You know, I don't know what it is, brother. Maybe it's that sister that you're really interested in. You really have a feeling for her. Well, she's just not interested. Right? Oh, you know, we're veterans of these things, so we can chuckle and laugh. Or whatever it may be. Or that perfect one that you married turned out to be not what you thought. Right? Well, I just heard this friend, and you know, an unbeliever, you know, got married, and then his wife found out. She's a very aggressive woman, and she found out after she got married, and she told people that her husband neither had money nor power that she thought he had. So she was disappointed, and he caught wind of that. And he tried to prove himself, and his whole behavior pattern just changed to get money and power. I tell you, life is full of trials and disappointments. And these are all ordered by the Lord's hand.
Amen.
You know, these are all ordered by the Lord's hand. You know, one thing, young brothers and sisters, we do have to have faith. And that is our whole life is in the Lord's hand.
Amen.
Amen.
Don't ever have doubts.
Wow.
The family, the parents to which you are born, you know, the brothers or sisters that you have in your family, where you were born, when you were born, the disposition that you're born with, the upbringing that you had, you know, the school that you're going to, we have to believe that the Lord is the sovereign one.
Amen.
That our whole life is in His hand. And He is not only the sovereign one, but He is the one that we love. And the one who loves us. And the one who courts us. Who has an intention that we would be transformed to be His counterpart. A purpose on us that He will fulfill. I tell you, all the doubts come from Satan.
Wow.
All the regrets come from Satan. I can never forget, you know, in the Ephesians training many years ago, and that was right after, you know, we had some big time failure. And Brother Lee's word was what? Repent, but don't regret. He was aware of the situation we were all in after this big time failure. And he gave us this word, repent, but don't regret. I say all the regrets are from Satan. Don't regret. Don't regret anything.
Amen.
Your whole life is in the Lord's hand.
Amen.
He wants to make you the same as He is. In fact, He wants to make you Him.
He wants to make you Christ. What a glorious purpose that is. And for this, you know, he has ordered everything.
Well, when all these trials, disappointments come, you know, those are times, you know, that our mettles will really be tested. Well, why are you here? Just big time disappointment. Well, why are you here? Why don't you just go live a life like the worldly people? Oh, Lord, I mean, I gave so much of my love to my life to you. How could you have this happen to me? Right? And you just take off. I don't want this. This is for the birds. You know, many people, you know, left the church and regret, you know, for having been in the church. You know? Well, why were they in the church in the first place? Well, when these trials and disappointments come, brothers and sisters, they could either work to perfect you, to strengthen that personal relationship with the Lord, you know, or, you know, if your reason for being here is something else, you know, it'll be exposed. Well, our pursuit of the Lord is a lifelong pursuit. You know, the title here, being captivated by Christ to have a lifelong, personal, and affectionate pursuit of him. You know, our pursuit of the Lord is a lifelong pursuit. The Lord didn't gain you while you were young, just for a few years. The Lord had you for life. And the Lord wants you for life. And brothers and sisters, it takes a whole lifetime for us to be transformed. So thank the Lord that the Lord gained us while we're young. But our pursuit must be a lifelong pursuit. You know, I used to, when I was young, right, like about your age, I used to have, you know, a kind of despise for some of the older saints. Why? They're not as gifted. You know? They're not as burning. They don't preach the gospel. They don't bring people to the Lord. They don't get glory. They don't give glorious testimonies. And when they speak, there's no light. Well, you know, I believe, you know, in exposing myself, you know, I'm telling your story too. You know, I used to have these, you know, I would never admit it, but, you know, the truth of the matter, in the back of my mind, you know, I just had this sort of despise, you know. Well, maybe despise is too strong of a word, but at least a kind of belittlement of these older saints. Until, you know, one time we passed through some turmoil, and one time the Lord asked me, you know, look, that brother, 65 years old, he's been in the church life 45 years. He may not be so burning, but he's still here.
Right.
What guarantee do you have that when you're 65 years old, that you'll still be sitting there?
That's right.
I think I was so humble. From that day on, you know, I dare not despise all these older saints. In fact, I rather respect them. They may not be so burning, but I rather respect them, if nothing, just for the sheer time, you know, that they have endured in the church life. I don't mean endure like in the suffering sense, but but in the sense that, you know, they're still here.
Amen.
They have not gotten blown away. They are still loving the Lord. Their understanding of the truth may not be so, you know, enlightened like we young people are. They may not be able to, you know, like give messages and repeat, you know, all these high truths, you know, so eloquently like we can. But after all these years, you know, 40 years, that brother is still there and still faithful to the Lord. You know, that it, when the Lord showed me that one time, you know, boy, I was enlightened. You know, our pursuit of the Lord is a lifelong pursuit.
Amen.
It's a lifelong pursuit. Just think, you know, anything that has to endure for a lifetime, it's not easy. It's not easy. And there will be many tests along the way. But if the Lord would have mercy on us, that our whole life we would not swerve from this one thing. Our pursuit is the pursuit of Christ alone.
Amen.
He alone is the reason why we're here. I'm not here because of something else other than Christ. I'm here because of Christ.
Amen.
I love Him.
Amen.
I just want Him. I just love to experience Him. And He is so many things to me. He is so rich to me. I just want Him. Whatever the condition of the church life, wherever the Lord puts me, whatever conditions, circumstances I find myself in, I just want Christ.
Amen.
I am here as a pursuer of Christ. And a pursuer of Christ alone. And I want that to be my lifelong life of just pursuing Christ. Now you see, we're so concerned, brothers and sisters, that today you would lay this foundation.
Amen.
That you're pursuing nothing other than the Lord Himself. But you are just a pursuer. You are just a pursuer of Christ.
Amen.
Now this pursuit is personal and affectionate. It has to be. Something that lasts a whole lifetime. It has to be personal and affectionate. Well, let me ask you, how personal is the Lord to you? And how affectionate is the Lord to you? It's hard to put it in words. But, you know, sometimes certain experiences, you know, portray this. You know, when you come to the Lord's table, haven't you had the experience that when you see that bread and that cup, you know, you just see the Lord's body broken for you and His blood being poured out for you? That you just move with affection. You just move with affection. Lord, thank you for dying for me. Thank you that your body was broken, that your life may be released.
Amen.
Thank you today, mine is the cup of blessing, because yours was the cup of curse. Haven't you had that experience? At the Lord's table, sometimes tears would come to your eyes. Because the Lord was so personal and so affectionate to you. I can testify many times, I have that experience. Coming to the Lord's table. seeing the symbols, I move with affection. The Lord that I love, He died for me. And today, I can partake of Him. You know, that bread, you know, it's so meaningful because I partake of the one I love. Right? In many of these hymns on the Lord's table, you know, we talk about we remember the Lord in love by partaking of Him. I can testify to you, brothers and sisters, I have that experience quite often, in fact, at the Lord's table. This is the one meeting that our whole being is just turned to the Lord Himself.
Amen.
And there, gazing on the Lord, you know, we just move with affection. Lord, You're the one I love. You're the one I pursue.
Amen.
You're the one that is worthy of my whole life.
Amen.
Well, some other experiences. I don't know whether you've had times alone with the Lord. Maybe take a walk on campus at night. Maybe you're walking home. You know, from the library, after the library closes, right? And you're walking back to your dorm. And nobody's around. Campus is fairly bare. And there, you may be calling on the Lord. And the Lord just appear to you, just visits you. Right? The Lord just visits you. And it seems right at that moment. You know, the Lord is right there with you. So dear.
Right.
So close. He couldn't be more dear and more close.
Right.
Right at that moment, I tell you, you would give up the world.
Right.
Christ to obtain.
Amen.
Right?
Amen.
Right that moment. You would give up anything in the world to obtain Christ.
Amen.
Haven't you had that sort of experience?
Amen.
Huh, brothers and sisters?
Amen.
Or sometimes, you know, when you're praying, you know, the Lord would just be so real to you. You're almost overwhelmed. You may have no words other than calling on the Lord's sweet name. And the Lord is right there. Or other times, you know, the verses would just come. And the Lord would just use His word to convey Himself to you. I have that experience many a times. Driving, you know, by myself in the car and praying, and the verses would just come. And the verses would just make the Lord alive to me. You know, right there and then, it seems in that car, you know, it was really heaven on earth.
Amen.
To the rest of the world, you're just another driver on the road.
Right.
Right? And yet, in that car, is the very God Himself.
Amen.
In that car is the Holy of Holies.
Amen.
Where you dwell in God, and God dwells in you. Can you all relate to these experiences? Yeah? They're not foreign to you, I hope. We all need that. And we all need that on a consistent way. on a consistent way. Don't let a stretch of time pass by without having that kind of intimate, personal, affectionate touch of the Lord. This is really, you know, in the words of Song of Songs, Him kissing us Amen. With the kisses of His mouth. Amen. Right? This is really that experience of the Lord kissing us with the kisses of His mouth. Sometimes, you know, it may happen in the meetings also. You know, there may be 200 people sitting in the meeting, and while the meeting is something public and corporate, yet in that meeting, the Lord might just visit you.
Right.
Maybe the brother sitting next to you doesn't even know what's going on. Yet you sitting there or listening to some sharing of some saints, the Lord just come to you. You know? Something within just is so quickened. Or tears come to your eyes. Others may not know what's going on, but there is something personally and affectionately being transacted between you and the Lord. No representative and no intermediary involved.
Right.
Just you and the Lord. In that moment, brothers and sisters, you just feel, this is why I'm on this earth. Well, a good example, last night in the meeting, did you feel that way? I did. Just last night, you know, as Brother Lee was sharing about the dance of the two armies, the weak ones, or at the end, you know, when Brother Ron was sharing, right? About us loving the Lord, pursuing the Lord, trusting the Lord, submitting to the Lord, obeying the Lord. I mean, didn't you feel right there? You know that there was the Lord's personal and affectionate visitation to you. You know what? We're burdened, brothers and sisters, is to strengthen that. Is to strengthen that and encourage you, you know, to have that kind of personal experiences of the Lord. So that in the church life, we're not just observing some form, some practices, performing some duties, or even just enjoying something that is so enjoyable. But that there is that personal transaction with the Lord. You know, another word that Brother Lee gave in this training is what? That garden which is sealed. Right? The fountains, right? How's that verse go? You have the Song of Song there? Huh? A garden enclosed. What verse is that, brothers? Help me. Huh? Pardon me? Yes. A garden enclosed is my sister, my bride. A spring shut up, a fountain seal. Isn't that sweet, huh? A garden enclosed is my sister, my bride. Enclosed. Not open to public. Just open to the King. Right? Our spirit needs sometime to be this kind of a garden, growing something just for the Lord Himself. a spring shut up, a fountain seal. You know, this word, brother, you talk about the fountain, you know, that really touched me. You know, the spring, you know, he said was the Spirit. But the fountain, that is God the Father. The fountain is the source that is hidden. You know, when I was living in Massachusetts, I live on this lake. And outwardly, it's just a body of water, you know, with no inlet nor outlet. And yet, you know, in it is an underground spring. So the water is always clear, and fish can grow in it. It doesn't smell and stink. Because in it, invisible to the outside world, is a fountain that is hidden. Well, you know, the spring is the Spirit flowing out. And that can be quite visible, right? But the fountainhead, or in other words, that is hidden. You wonder sometimes why some brothers stand up and the Spirit just flows. Here is the river of the water of life. The water just come gushing out. Why? Because this brother has behind him enclosed and sealed and unseen a fountainhead. You wonder where he gets all this stuff. Isn't that how we feel about Brother Lee sometimes? Gosh, I wonder where he gets all this stuff. Well, the Spirit flows because there's a fountainhead hidden, unseen. Without that fountainhead, I hear you can try to flow, and there's no ring to it. You stand up, release your Spirit. You know, it's like no ring to it. You sit down and nothing has changed. People's hearts are not touched. People's spirits are not nourished. Right? It all depends. Whether the Spirit flows depends on whether you have that fountain that is hidden, that is unseen. So you stand up and share. You don't need to, you know, right, so to speak, release your Spirit. And yet the water of life just comes out, nourishes others, waters others, brings life to others. Well, it's because behind you, in your private experience, is this fountainhead. So this time we got another word in the training, and that is the word private. Right? Private and spiritual. Personal and affectionate. Private and spiritual. We cannot have a Christian life or a church life that is all out in the public. Everything's out in the public. There must be a component to our Christian life that is private. As Brother Lee said, even your wife would not know about it. Something going on between you and the Lord, nobody knows about it. I tell you, that sort of transaction becomes a fountain which supplies the springs for the flowing out of life.
Amen.
So you will be a brother or a sister in the church who is rich in life. Whenever you say anything, life just comes out.
Amen.
Others are just nourished,
Amen.
Fed,
Amen.
Water. Others just get life. So we're here to encourage you, brothers and sisters.
Amen.
Have this private life.
Amen.
Have this private life with the Lord. I just, the other day, said to my son, who's 17 years old, that he doesn't need to further develop his social life. You know, I used to spend some time at a school called MIT. And there I saw a lot of people who are socially so underdeveloped. They may be intellectually so overdeveloped that they're socially just so underdeveloped. They don't know how to relate to people. They don't know how to carry on a normal conversation. But they can invent all kinds of things. Well, I told my son he's the opposite of that. Well, we all have a public side to our church life, or a social side to our church life, right? Sometimes that part is so overdeveloped. You know, that the private side is stunted.
Right.
Just like my son, I told him. You know, every moment he's free, he goes, he has to have a friend with him. And think of all the things you would do if you didn't just run out to another friend. All the books you would have read, maybe the laundry that would have gotten done. You know? Maybe you would have learned an instrument. Oh, whatever. Well, I told him he's the opposite of all these, you know, socially underdeveloped and social dwarfs that I saw at an institution like MIT. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope in our church life we're not that way, that we're just so overdeveloped in the public side that we are dwarfed in the private side.
Right.
All these practices and exercise and help that we get in the church life corporately, that is all good. Don't get me wrong. You know, living corporately, having corporate morning watch, all that is good. But that public, corporate side of the church life should not displace, and worse yet, stunt our private life with the Lord. So maybe now we need some sort of rebalancing.
Amen.
Huh? And maybe that's part of the objective of this weekend.
Amen.
To, you know, shift the center of gravity a little bit back to the to the private life. That each one of us would have this private time with the Lord.
Amen.
That you personally and affectionately would have a visitation from the Lord. The Lord would speak to you. The Lord would touch you. The Lord would charm you.
Amen.
Right? The Lord would draw you.
Amen.
The Lord would captivate you.
Amen.
All of that transacting in a realm that is not known to the outside world.
Right.
Just between you and the Lord.
Amen.
And it is so real. It is so sweet.
Right.
It is so solid.
Right.
That when you come to the church life, you would be a different person.
Amen.
You would be a spring with a fountainhead behind you.
Amen.
You would flow out because you have a rich fountainhead. That is our burden. That is why, you know, Brother Minoru said, even this weekend, what the morning revival will be individual.
Right.
Private.
Right.
Right?
Right?
Not corporate prayer reading. But individually. Privately. Well, you may find tomorrow morning, gosh, what do you do? Well, there's nobody around to amen me. Well, what do you do? Well, that's why we need the practice. That private time can be so sweet, can be Amen. So sweet.
Amen.
So tonight is just the opening, and I hope this weekend we will all enter into this exercise to develop our private, personal, affectionate relationship with the Lord.
Amen.
That would be the foundation
right.
for all our church life.
Right.
Amen.
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 Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. This is where everything begins. Brothers and sisters, I think tonight the Lord should have spoken to all of us.
Right.
I feel even in a very intimate and also in a very, very practical way.
Amen.
And I also firmly believe that this is your need right now. My need also. There has to come a time when the only reason for anything and everything is just the triune God.
Amen.
Why am I here? The triune God. Why do I have morning watch? The triune God.
Amen.
Why am I doing or being anything? It's just because of God and God alone. And this God today, of course, is embodied in Christ, who is this divine human being. And he went through so many things, and all that made him so lovely, so dear, and so utterly precious. There's no other religion on the earth whose founder or leader demands nothing but love from his followers. They demand worship. They demand obedience. They demand adherence to his commandments. But only Christ asks nothing of his followers but their love. Thou shalt love the Lord your God
Amen.
With all your heart,
Amen.
With all your mind,
Amen.
With all your soul,
Amen.
With all your even physical strength.
Amen.
Love him.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, tonight we're not even just talking about, and we are, but we're not just talking about a one-time touch with the Lord. We're burdened for your lifelong pursuit of him.
Amen.
That until we reach the last verse of this book, it says, hasten. Hasten, my beloved.
Amen.
That is talking about the Lord's return. That what? We will be pursuing him all the time. Are you pursuing him?
Amen.
Are you just pursuing him?
Amen.
Or are we here for any other reason, for any other purpose? I challenge you, young people, tonight, that from now on, that everything that you do in your life, and particularly in the church life, you can say, I'm doing this because I'm pursuing this one. I'm having morning revival, not because the schedule says so. I'm coming to the meetings, not because that's what a good brother does. No, I'm doing all these things because I'm pursuing my Christ.
Amen.
And I want more of Him. And in this, Amen. This kind of pursuit can only come by three things. Number one, being attracted by His love. Number two, being charmed by His name. And number three, being drawn by Himself, His person. So, in our personal time with the Lord, these three things must be present there. That's it. That's our personal time with Him. So, tonight, after we break up, before we go to bed, we want all of you to have a time with the Lord.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And tomorrow morning, after you get up, not corporate morning revival, no. But what? Personal pursuit of Christ.
Amen.
Okay? And not because the schedule says so. Because you want it.
Amen.
You love Him.
Amen.
You can't do without it.
Amen.
How about that?
Amen.
And these times, how long? I wish we have to tear you away from it to come to the eat breakfast. You know, sometimes I see morning revival times. The brothers are still 5 more minutes to go, grinding away at the prayer reading. I tell you, I can, by that one thing I know, that's not pursuing Christ. That's fulfilling a duty.
Amen.
This is a dutiful, mechanical exercise of the church. I tell you, that will not last. You have to find Christ.
Amen.
And I tell you, the first time I found Him in so-called morning watch, I was sitting in a cemetery on the top of a tomb in a military cemetery facing the ocean. Nobody was around. The sun was rising, and I have this little Bible in my hand. The first time I had this intimate experience with the Lord early in the morning. And I lost track of time. They had to ring the bell, come send someone to get me. And I tell you, I care less for that breakfast. I could not do without eating. I could spend hours there. Do you know what I mean? That taste has always been in my mouth. From then on, I knew what it means to be with the Lord.
Amen.
And nothing can substitute it. Nothing can cheat me. Because I know what it tastes like.
Amen.
I know the ointment's taste. I know the fragrance of Jesus' name.
Amen.
And I know the sweetness like dripping honey when His word is open to me.
Amen.
So we'd like you to have this kind of time. All right? Don't wander in your mind, what should I do? You just what? Enjoy His love.
Amen.
Enjoy His name. Enjoy His person, which is embodied in His word. I especially would like to encourage you, use the Bible on the one hand and use the hymnal on the other. You know, this song tonight, "Tis the look that melted Peter." You know where that is? That's after Peter denied the Lord Jesus 3 times. The rooster crowed, and Jesus turned and took a look at failing Peter. He just failed bad. Bad. 3 times. The Lord took 1 look of him. And you just think about what was going on in Peter at that time. It was at once a sense of utter terrible failure. But on the other hand, a loving arm wrapping around him and say what? Go on. Don't regret, just repent.
Amen.
You have that experience? 'Tis the face that Stephen saw. This is a martyr being stoned to death and seeing heavens open and Jesus standing, not sitting, but standing there. I tell you, only such a face will cause us to choose a martyr's end. 'Tis the heart that wept with Mary. Do you know the shortest verse in the New Testament? John chapter 11, verse 35, Jesus wept. He was weeping there, what? With Mary, right? On the unbelief of the people around him. And right after that in chapter 12, Mary was the one who broke that alabaster box to anoint the Lord. Dear saints, these are all experiences and not doctrines, right? Can alone from idol draw. Nothing will cause us to leave the world and what? Overcome the attractions of the world but this. But the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, so we encourage just a few things about the training. Absolutely no boy-girl stuff going on. Why would you even want to do that? When he can kiss you, right?
Amen.
But we mean it. No, that is distracting. And then follow the hours of the schedule. And then be in these meetings at least 5 minutes beforehand. And all besides the meeting times, I would encourage you all use all the time to pursue the Lord.
Amen.
And get into the spiritual realm.
Amen.
All right? Okay, just some announcements.